This is reported in the Massachusetts. Did I say that right? How's it said? I'm not fluent in tongues yet. Massachusetts. There's this particular state that has a Bar Association lawyer journal. And these are questions that were actually asked of witnesses by attorneys during trials. In the last case, some of the responses were given by kind of an insightful witness. So this is actually, these were actually spoken by lawyers. Now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning? The youngest son, the 21-year-old, how old is he? Were you present when your picture was taken? Was it you or your younger brother who was killed in the war? And how far apart were the vehicles at the time of the collision? You were there until the time you left. Is that true? And just how many times have you committed suicide? Are you qualified to give a urine sample? You say these stairs went down to the basement. Yes. And these stairs, did they go up also? How was your first marriage terminated? By death. And by whose death was it terminated? Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? All my autopsies have been performed on dead people. Do you recall the time that you examined the body? The autopsy started around 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Dennington was dead at the time? No, he was laying on the table wondering why I was doing an autopsy on him. Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check the pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. But could the patient have still been alive nevertheless? It is possible he is alive and practicing law in this particular case. I really don't know if I have anything else to say after that or not. Ezekiel chapter 37. Could we pray this morning? Could we do this? Could you just lay your hands on your ears? Don't plug them. Just kind of by them. Father, this morning we just want to come to you, Lord, and we want to position ourselves to hear whatever you would have to say. We're not here to hear what Dave says, but we're here to hear what you want to say to us. This morning, give us ears to hear, Lord. Ears to hear what you would speak into our lives, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Have you ever noticed that sometimes there are passages of Scripture in the Bible, even though they were written thousands of years ago, even though there was a natural application to what they were saying, they were speaking to the nation of Israel in a particular point in time in their history, and yet God can take that passage of Scripture and give it a prophetic application to the church today? Isn't it an amazing thing how God, by His Spirit, can do that? You know, when I read the book of Nehemiah, And I discover that, you know, as he's talking about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, there is incredible prophetic application to the church of Jesus Christ. I read out of a passage of scripture a few weeks ago in Ezekiel 47 that talked about the river of God flowing out from the temple or the house of God. And the farther out it went, the deeper it got. And something tied in with that, that Jesus talked about launching out in the deep for a catch. That God can take a passage of scripture like that and say, yes, this is applicable to the church of Jesus Christ. The river that flows out from the church takes us out from the walls of us gathering together into the lives of the people in the world. And everywhere that river goes, it gives life, the Bible says. Do you know what I'm talking about? Prophetic application. Thank you for that nod, Gordon. Hallelujah. I got one nod. Hallelujah. What is God saying? You know, I believe that God is always speaking. But sometimes we don't have the tuner tuned. We might be on the static part. But I believe that God is always speaking. Now, by that, I don't mean that there's another book coming out. Volume 2? Bible 2? No, I mean, this is the book. But God is continually unfolding His book. Do you know that the church went into an incredible season of darkness? You know, the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, a powerful church. Man, walking, they turned the world upside down. They were powerful. But you know, there came a time where the church kind of went into a decline and began to lose certain truths. Like, they had this truth in James that said, if there's anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and the elders will come and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise him up. Well, you know, as they lost faith, that just kind of stepped into a ritual of the last rites. There was no prayer of faith. There was no expecting to rise up. It sort of, you know, get ready to go. And the church began to lose certain truths and certain understandings. And it came into a place where they didn't even know that a person could actually be saved. Can you imagine that? And you had to have somebody else interpret the Bible to you because the laity, what do they know? But you know, God began to pour out His Spirit. And there was a man named Martin Luther that got a revelation as God began to unfold truth again. And he got this revelation of salvation by faith and the priesthood of the believers. And you could be saved and have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it wasn't dependent upon our works or our performance. It was dependent upon what Jesus Christ has already done. Do you know that was like cutting edge revelation in that day? Peter said this, I want to read it to you, it's out of 2 Peter 1:12. It says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in present truth. Present truth is what God wants you to be established in. Present truth is what God is saying right now. And in that day, present truth was salvation by faith. You could have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, God didn't stop there. He began to give this revelation to other men about water baptism. That infant baptism, you know, you can bless a child and you can dedicate that child to God, but one of the requirements for water baptism is repentance. Peter in Acts 2:38, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this revelation and this understanding of water baptism came into being. And that was like cutting-edge stuff. And then the turn of the century, God poured out His Spirit. And there came a fresh revelation of being filled with the Spirit. Not just repent and be saved, not just be water baptized, but receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there came an understanding of those things. And that was cutting-edge. That was on. To be established in present truth is to be established in what God is saying and God is doing. And the challenge is this. When you get a revelation and you get an understanding, and you say, oh, salvation by faith, this is wonderful, don't set up camp there. Don't form a denomination. We got the truth. Well, you do. But there's more. And when the Spirit of God moves, pick up camp like the children of Israel did and follow the cloud. When God is taking you somewhere, follow Him. You know, I want to be at a place in my Christian walk where I can hear what God is saying. I believe God is a speaking God. God has things to speak into my life for the situations that I'm walking through right now. God has things to speak into us as a church for right where we're at right now. There's a prophetic time. I can tell you without beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a season that we are in as a church, and it's called evangelism. God is taking us into a place of contagious Christianity. That's a season that we're in. Now, do you think that God will birth something in us during that season, and it will make us contagious, and we'll be able to reproduce ourselves and share our faith? But that's not all there is. I'm open to other seasons too. Whatever God is saying and whatever God is doing, I want to be a part of it. Jesus said in Revelations, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus is quoting out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he says this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In the Greek New Testament, there are two words translated word. One of the words for word is... One of the words that's translated word is the word logos. And it means the compilation of all man's and God's activity with man. Every revelation, every angelic visitation, every time God breathed upon a man of God and he wrote the scriptures, the word of the Lord came out, every prophet that ever prophesied, every encounter with God, all of that put together is the logos. But there's another word that's translated word, and it's the word rhema. And it means the quickened word. It means when you're like reading your Bible and you said, "God, if you got something to say to me today, Lord, I just want to be sensitive. I want to hear your voice." You know, and you begin to read your Bible with a tender spirit, and all of a sudden something quickens. Something comes alive, and it's like a word for you. That's the rhema. Maybe it comes while you're listening to a message, or maybe it comes while you're watching a television program, a Christian program, but somehow something gets quickened to you. That's the rhema. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that flows from the mouth of God. Just as my physical body requires food to give me the strength and stamina to go forward, so my spirit requires spiritual food to have the strength and stamina to go forward. Just as my physical man requires physical food, just as my physical body was formed from the dust of the ground, so trees and fruit and produce and life flows from that source, and that's food for my physical body. In that same fashion, my spirit man, who is eternal, requires spirit food, which is the Word of God that lives and abides forever. My spirit man needs food. I need to hear what God is saying to me. You know, when God speaks a word to you, it changes everything. You know, one day, the disciples were in their boats, you know, and they were just, you know, having a normal... I mean, they were used to being in boats. You know, some of them were fishermen. You know, but one day they noticed Jesus walking to them on the water. And it kind of scared them a little bit. "Is that you, Lord?" "It's me." "Well, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come," Peter said. And Jesus said, "Come." Do you know that was a rhema to Peter? And he could act on that, and it would hold him up. That's rhema. Now, when I read that in my Bible, it's logos to me right now. Which means I can't go out in somebody's backyard with a swimming pool and say, "Okay, Jesus, come." Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? It's rhema that holds me up. It's God speaking into my life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Do you know that's a present tense word? It implies that God is speaking right now. It implies that I can't necessarily live on what God said to me 10 years ago. It's proceeding right now. I need to hear what He's saying to me right now. Bread, manna. Did you notice that they had to go out daily and gather their manna? And what they gathered on Tuesday didn't work on Thursday? I think there's something God is trying to say there. That what God has spoken to me, I treasure and I live by the Logos. I mean, I study this book and there are principles in here that govern every facet of relationships in life, and they're principles that we can live by. But at the same time, God, are you saying you wanted to say something to me today right now? Lord, are you wanting to give me a word to speak into my circumstances? Are you wanting to give me direction and clarity? Are you wanting me to do something that maybe is beyond my comfort zone? But Lord, if it's you, if you say come, I'll come. Really, this message is about Ezekiel 37. I apologize for not having sermon notes, but it gives me a whole heck of a lot of freedom up here. You know, for a guy that has trouble following notes anyway, this is like freedom, man. I'll just stay in the Bible, okay? We'll just have that agreement. We'll stay there. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. The Spirit of God took him out in the spirit, just as John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and all of a sudden he heard something that became the Apocalypse or the Book of Revelations. In that same way, God took Ezekiel and took him in the spirit, and he took him into this place. It was a valley and it was full of bones. Do you know that this wasn't the most exciting vision or revelation he'd had? This is a guy that had seen the glory of God. This is a guy that had seen the creatures before the throne of God that say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And now he's got this other vision happening. God takes him to this valley that's full of bones and sets him down there. Do you know, how many know that bones are not exactly a symbol for life? A sign of life? Maybe even quite the contrary? You know, even just the idea of a valley. You know, we think of mountaintop experiences in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank goodness you're with me, God. I paraphrase that a little bit. A valley speaks of despair. Speaks of discouragement. You know, it really kind of speaks of it's dry, it's dead. Verse 2, then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. So God sets him in this valley, and then all of a sudden God picks him up and gives him this overview. You know, takes him around the whole thing. And his conclusion was this. It's very profound. He says, there were very many bones, and they were very dry. How many have ever been to this valley? How many have ever found yourself in a place that you think, boy, this is dry. This is bleak. This place is bad to the bone. Some of you never heard that terminology. I was just separating age groups there. It's a place of lost dreams. It's a place of unfulfilled promises. It's a place of hopelessness and despair. It's a place where, you know, there's nothing that can affect this. I mean, this is bad. I mean, how can this possibly change? Verse 3, then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? You know, God takes him to this bleak situation and he gives him an overview of it and lets him see it and he says, hey, prophet man, can this change? Can these bones live? How many of you know that God has raised the dead? But normally they've had skin on them. You know, many, many times, you know, somebody would die, their life would be gone, they would be dead. I mean, they're dead. Lazarus was already into decay. He stinketh. That's what my Bible says, at least my King James Version. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He prophesied, come forth. Hey, Lazarus, hear the word of the Lord. You're coming out of the grave. Hey, you dry bones. But you know, it's something else. Because you know, when you reach the bone stage, you know, there's dead and there's really dead. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're dead, you think, well, you know, God could do something here. But when it's been long enough to reach the bone stage, you just think, you know, maybe we better put this one to bed. Have you ever been there? Like it was a good idea, but I guess it wasn't God. There's good ideas, there's God ideas. Maybe this was just a good idea. You know that dream I had? Maybe it was just too much pizza the night before. I knew I should have stayed away from those anchovies. And he said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, you've got to realize, here's Ezekiel. He's looking at this situation. You know, it's so easy for us to have our focus on the circumstance, our focus on the situation. I mean, them are dry bones. Man, those bones are dry. I just want to confirm that those are bones and they're dry. We just focus, you know. Man, have you ever seen drier bones? Hey, look at those bones. Focus. God says, can these bones live? Wait a minute, there was a focus shift there. Oh. And this was the prophet's response. He said, O Lord God, you know. How many of you know if you were in school and the teacher asked a question, that answer wouldn't work? I mean, I'd try it. Ask a question, you don't want to say, well, you know, teach. But you know, what's happening here is he's seeing the situation and then God has taken his focus off. And if you could see this in some other translations of Scripture, you would see that there's, when he says this, he's saying, oh, sovereign God. Oh yeah, there's nothing impossible for you. There's nothing too difficult for you. If I keep looking here, I'm just going to look at you, God. You remember that time in the Bible when Jesus, they brought this guy to him and Jesus prayed for him and he said, okay, he says, how is it now? And the guy says, well, I see men like trees. So like, you know, he had a little bit of vision, but it's kind of blurry and he sees these stumps moving around. If you read that passage, this is what it says. Then Jesus touched his eyes and had him look up and his eyes were opened. See, sometimes for our eyes to open, we have to look in the right direction. I had something, it wasn't even part of my notes. Listen to this. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. Hallelujah. Isn't that what Jesus said? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Get our focus in the right place. This isn't even what my message is about. I just love it that you don't have any notes. Hallelujah. Oh Lord God, you know. Now see, before this, the prophet's looking at this valley. And it's like dry, and there's lots of bones. And you know, the bones weren't even like in the right place. Like one person's ankle bones laying next to another person's hip bone. I mean, it's messed up. Bones scattered. Other people's bones piled on your bones. How could God do anything with a situation like that? Verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. Doesn't God know this is a great prophet? And he's kind of out in this valley prophesying to bones. What a great prophetic ministry. Doesn't God know who this guy is? Jesus talked to trees. He prophesied to a tree one time. He said, nevermore will you bear fruit. Thing withered up from the roots up. He spoke to the wind and the waves and they stilled. Hey, you bones, hear the word of the Lord. I can just see him out there, can't you? Hey, bones, my God says you're going to live. Wake up, bones! Hear the word of the Lord. You know, sometimes the things that are going on in your life need to be prophesied to. You know, sometimes your circumstances need to hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes your circumstances need to hear, hey, all things work together for my good because I am called of God. I love God and He's called me for His purpose. Hey, circumstances, you are working in me to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Sometimes we need to speak into the situations of our life. The word of the Lord. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to say something, let the word of God be on your lips. You remember God told Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, keep it in your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. There's something powerful about the Word of God. You know, the reason that the enemy is as successful as he is his whole thing is deception. Now, what deception is here's truth, here's deception. If I can get them to buy into this and get that out of their lives, he's a deceiver. You know, when you become a Christian, you're a son and a daughter of God. You have been made accepted in the Beloved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that if you tune into the devil, he will tell you something different than that? That's not his message. His message is, you know, maybe everybody else, but not you. You are the black. If you're part of the fold, you are the black sheep. Do you understand what I'm saying? Speaking the word of God into our circumstances. Sometimes I have to say to my mind, peace, be still. Right. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has done bountifully with thee. Sometimes you have to speak into a sin consciousness and say, you know, my God forgives all my iniquities. And He heals all of my diseases. As far as the east is from the west, so has He removed my transgressions from me. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed my conscience. from acts that lead to death, so that I may serve the living God, for by one sacrifice He has perfected me forever. Speak into those things, the Word of God. Sometimes you have to speak into the fear that you experience in your life and prophesy to it and say, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Since I know my God, I shall be strong and do great exploits. The fear of man brings a snare, but since I trust in you, I shall be safe. I am strong and of good courage. I am not afraid or dismayed. Why? For the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. Hallelujah. How come you are so quiet out there? Hallelujah. Is this okay? Because I really didn't have a message today. So we're doing this instead. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Ruach. Breath. In the Greek New Testament, the word is pneuma. It's translated breath, wind, spirit. There's no capitalization in it. You have to read the context to tell whether it's talking about the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the word is ruach, and it means breath of God. Where, when that breath of God comes, life comes. Where the breath of God comes, the circumstances are changed. He says, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Verse 6. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. You know, it kind of reminds me of when, in Genesis 2, when God is creating Adam. And He forms him from the dust of the ground, and he's perfect. All the organs are formed, all the skin is there, everything there, the hairline before it recedes, all of that stuff is there. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's almost the picture I see here, because you see this skin forming, all the organs, everything forming, and then he says, then I will put breath in you and you will live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Bones, you're going to know that He is God, and you're going to know without any question who did this. Have you ever had a dream that seemed to die? Have you ever had a hope in your heart that you thought maybe God put there, that it doesn't seem to be happening? Maybe something that you even tried to make happen, that it didn't seem to happen. There's an interesting principle in Scripture. I learned about it years ago, clear back in Basic Youth Complex. Anybody heard of that? Basic Youth Complex. It's back when we were basic youth. Just for basic youth. And the principle is this, that when God gives a vision, He has to fulfill it. And we often get a vision and then we go out and try to help Him. God, you got the right guy here. We're going to make this happen. And then at the end of that time, there's what's called death of a vision. You just think, this is the valley of dry bones. And then all of a sudden, God breathes into it by His Spirit, and there's the resurrection of a vision. And there is no question at that point in time who made this come to pass, because you already tried and failed. It was God. You can see that over and over again in Scripture. Verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bones." Hey, bones, my God says you're going to live. Wake up, bones. And all of a sudden, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. Just read it. You might have to look for that translation. I guess mine does say rattling. But all of a sudden, there was a lining up and a positioning. And all of a sudden, the hip bone was connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone was, you know this? It's connected to the knee bone, and all of a sudden, the skeletal structures were there of all of these people. And all of a sudden, verse 8, "Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them." You know, with that light, I can't see what time it is. No telling when we'll get out of here. "The sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." There was a response to the word of the Lord. There was a positioning. There was a lining up. There was a waiting for that breath of God to come. Then he said to me, verse 9, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and ruach on these slain, that they may live." See, some people have been slain from the circumstances of life. Some people have been slain from the difficulties they've experienced, the broken dreams. Some have been hurt by someone and have never recovered. They've never healed. They've never allowed God to mend them and get them in the game again. God is decreeing life. God is a God of life. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. He never changes. He's always like this. He's a good God. He's a good God. "So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Can you see it? I believe this is such a prophetic picture of the church of Jesus Christ. A church that God is calling to be an army, His army in the earth, to fight the good fight of faith. You know, when I look at the church, I don't exactly see that right now. I see a church divided. I see lots of things separating people. But you know, Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17. He said, "I pray that they might be one as we are one." Do you know, if God answers anybody's prayers, it's Jesus. In fact, He's our whole basis of approach to God in prayer. Jesus prayed that there would be a day when His church was one. Paul gave us an understanding of that revelation in Ephesians when he talked about the Jesus and His bride, and that He would wash her with the water of the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. And then he goes on in Ephesians chapter 6 and he begins to describe an army. And he says, you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You need to put on your armor because you're in a warfare and you're representing me. I love this picture in Ezekiel. Here's all these bones out in this field, out in this valley. All the hope is gone. God, we would have liked to have been part of this great army. We would have liked to have seen that day, but it's dry here. It's dry. We're in a dry place. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes. There's a prophetic voice in the land. It's like a trumpet. When the prophetic voice comes, there's a sensing of God. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? God is speaking. Something is happening. Something is happening in the spirit realm. I want to have my ear in tune with that. Lord, I want to hear when your trumpet's sounding. And all of a sudden, you see this picture of an exceeding great army standing before the Lord, ready to finish the job. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, verse 11, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord God, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're feeling dry this morning, would you hear the word of the Lord? If you're feeling hopeless, if you're feeling like, how could God make anything good come out of this? If you feel like, well, you know, those glory days in the past were wonderful, but I'm just about spent. However you're feeling this morning, would you allow God, by His Spirit, to speak a word to you? When a word of God changes everything. When God speaks a word into a person's life, everything changes. Sometimes it's like we can't hear the word of the Lord because we're so busy. We're so busy in life and we've got so many things to do and so many responsibilities. And, you know, I've got 27 things to do today and I'll probably get 16 of them done and I'll have to carry over 11. And then I'll have... Sorry, I had to do some quick math there real quick. Do you understand what I'm saying? Would you just... I'm just going to... You know, we're done early. This is all the word I've got. If you want something else, you're going to have to read your Bible. But could we just wait before the Lord for a minute? Could we just honor His presence and honor Him as our Father and acknowledge Him as He really is? He's our loving Heavenly Father. He cares about each one of us. We are like a treasure in His eyes. We are valuable. Not because of anything we have done, but because God says you're valuable. You're so valuable to me that I'm sending my Son to die in your place that you could be mine. Could we just quiet ourselves before the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. It's all found in relationship. God has not called you to religion. Hallelujah. He's called you to a relationship with Himself. A relationship with a Father and a God who loves you unconditionally. Would you just let yourself sit on His lap this morning? Would you just let go of every care, every concern, everything that would try to weigh you down? put fear in your heart? Would you just let go of all of that this morning and just say, Abba, Father, Daddy. This morning he would say to you that he has loved you with an everlasting. And with cords of loving kindness, he has drawn you to himself. That he delights in you. That he has purpose for your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together this morning. Father, this morning we present to you our valleys. And Lord, the dry things in our lives. And the dreams that we have let go of, the promises that seemingly have been unfulfilled, that maybe we've even given up on. And Lord, we present all of this to you this morning, and we ask you to breathe life into us again, Lord. Would you speak your word to us? Lord, we incline our ear to hear. We incline our hearts to receive. Father, I pray for every person in here this morning. Lord, that throughout the course of this week, whether it be as they're reading their Bible or whether they're listening to a cassette or whatever they're doing, Lord, that you would speak to them. And you would still fear in their life. And you would cause unrest to cease. You would put a sureness and a confidence in their heart. And Lord, you would resurrect the God ideas in their lives, Lord. That you would resurrect the things that you desire to do. Lord, this week we just want to present ourselves to you, Lord. To hear the word of the Lord. To receive the Ruach, Lord, the breath of God. And the life and the refreshing that comes with it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go in peace and have a fruitful week in the Lord.